testimony, lady who had problems with her hips and her back was instantly set free. Another lady with a bulging disc, you know, from a traffic accident, instantly delivered, set free. Motorcycle accidents, arthritis, all sorts of great things. And because I was going so fast, meeting after meeting after meeting, it's the testimonies are now coming in bit by bit over the emails. But we've got a lot of people were actually healed even before they got up for prayer. They just, as soon as they stepped out of their seat, they just got healed. And it was just, it was so good. God showing off. It's just because he just loves to get the glory and he deserves it. He is so good. And the lovely thing is, like, people say, why do you go to America? Well, because God told me to. And his ideas are better than our ideas. And, you know, I'm just so excited because a lot of places in the West think, well, miracles only happen in the third world, you know, but it's just not true. It's just easy. Lots and lots and lots of miracles are happening and wonderful things. And it's easy to receive healing. People are coming back to a childlike faith. And it's beautiful. Before I ever started preaching, someone pulled me out of a crowd and said, the Lord says you're going to the United States of America. He's going to have your name in big letters all over America. And people told me, oh, it's a flattery prophecy. But within 6 months, I was on Jim Baker's program with my name underneath the program going all over America. And then somebody else came in, said, picked me out, said, the Lord says, you're going to the United States of America. And so when God says go, I go, and it's wonderful. He opens some amazing doors, more things than I could do. But we went into great big Pentecostal holiness churches. I did a conference at Mo, which was really fun, Mountain of Worship, Danny Stain's place. And also the last night we did a little country town Methodist church. This friend of mine, he asked the Methodist pastor, because there were so many people coming, if they could use their church, and the Methodist pastor let him do that, and he came along to the meeting. He had apparently never seen anything as far as the move of the Holy Spirit had gone, and at the end of the meeting he was on his face, just overwhelmed by what God had done. And oh, it was so lovely. God just gives me favor, and I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful to you guys for all your support, all you who made Tom dinner and blessed him and prayed for me. I know I was carried by the prayers, and because it was just easy. I didn't have any struggle with sore throat, and I was doing meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. I just had to say no once every 7 days and have a day off. And so we got a couple, but it was well worth it. Amen. So over the next coming weeks, when David and Karen get back on Monday, we'll see little bits and pieces more of that. So to God be the glory, great things he has done. Amen. Amen. I'm very happy. In his presence is fullness of joy. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. You know, I've been seeing some really unusual things lately. Big flakes of gold and all sorts of stuff. And I don't understand it, but that's what signs and wonders are for. They make you wonder, hey, and go, wow, I wonder what that is. But I think we're going to be seeing things that we've never seen before. As we look to him, God just delights to surprise us and do amazing things. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles. Lebe asa lebe amosonde shungumashe holy Jesus. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There.
There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Yes. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Let's start verse 13, just the second half there. It says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." This is the bridegroom speaking to the bride. Jesus speaking to his beloved. You know, we when God made man and woman, he made Eve out of Adam's side, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. And you know, when we came into the kingdom of God, out of the side of Jesus that was pierced and blood flowed, we became new creations. Out of his side, he made room for his bride to be created in his image with his seed, new creations, born again of the Spirit of God. And so no longer are we born of Adam, we're born again of the Spirit of God, born again of Jesus. And he did all of that to have you with him so that we could be together. And that's why he suffered. We are the reward of his suffering. And that's why there's such an urgency in my spirit to go out and get the people and bring them in to the kingdom. I loved seeing people come to Christ. We saw lots of people come to Christ, and just the lights go on and go, and find him, because that's what he did it all for, just so that we could be with him. And I would go every day for a walk. We stayed out at our friend's ranch, and I was able to walk in the woods all by myself. There's nothing I like better than being all alone with God. It's my favorite thing in the whole world. That Jesus said, the Lord said, "You taste and see that the Lord is good." And he said that for a reason, because he knows when you get a taste, you get addicted. I was like, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. A friend of mine, one of the pastors, popped around to say goodbye as we were leaving to go to the next place. And he knew I'd been for my walk that morning, and I was just telling him how we were going to go, and I'll prepare for the meeting that afternoon and talk to God about what he wanted to say. He said, "Didn't you already talk to God about that?" I said, no, that time, that's just me and God. That's our time. You know, we talk about what he wants to give to others after. It's like, you know, in the aeroplane, if you've ever been in the aeroplane, they have the demonstrations where the oxygen masks fall down. And it says, I mean, I've heard this announcement that many times. But when it comes down, they have a picture and they say, "Put your own mask on first and then help others beside you." You know, first time I thought that, you know, that's a bit ridiculous. You know, you've got to help the children first. But no, they have a reason for that, because you can't help them if you've passed out from lack of oxygen. And, you know, it's exactly the same with us and same with me. I can't help anybody if I don't get my daily dose of alone time with God. You know, I haven't got it to give. I haven't got love and patience and kindness and long-suffering if I don't go get it every day. Every day I need my daily bread. Just for me. Feed me. And it's not selfish. God knows that we are made to need him. He really likes being needed. And that's why he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's not just give us this once a week sermon. It's daily bread. And it's everything we need. And I've got to go get it. I've got to have it. I've got to have it more than I have food, sleep, anything. I've got to have my time with God. And then when I go to read the word, it's like I'm seeing everything that he's written out of the understanding of his enormous love for me. And when I walk with him, I know that, you know, he's enjoying my company. But it wasn't always like that. I used to believe that God was probably normally cranky with me about something I've done, or, you know, a little bit disappointed, just like Sarah shared there. And a lot of us filter our idea of God through our understanding of humans or human love or human fathers. And we get a perception that God, because he's so holy and we never feel like we completely measure up, must always be a little frustrated with us. And with that feeling, it's very hard to get close and feel loved and stuff when you think you just... Anyway, so before I go into this a little bit further with the Song of Solomon, let's flip over. I'm just going to go with what the Lord's doing here. I'm just going to share with you that scripture from 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3 verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. You know, I used to read those scriptures and I would just get buried under them. It was like, well, wow, you know, I sinned yesterday. What does that say about me? And I used to think, this is just too hard. Help God. And But, you know, you're caught because you know that you know that you know that he's God and he loves you. And yet, if you haven't had a revelation about what this really means, it can bury you and make you feel totally inadequate and so far from able to be able to, such as I have, give I thee. Because you feel like, I'm just such a mess. And that's exactly the devil's plan, is to make you feel like such a mess that you've got nothing to give. But you see, the awakening that's happening is the people of God are beginning to wake up and realize something. Have a look here. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. Holy Bible. It's there. How can that be? Does that mean that when you make a mistake, you're not being born of God? No. When you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What it means is you're not that person anymore that used to do that stuff. You are a new creation in Christ. When you've given your life to Christ, what has happened is that you have, instead of being of the seed of Adam, the seed of God abides in you, and you are made of something new. You're made of the same stuff as God. God has created you so that you are no longer a slave to sin. But you've been made free. So if the enemy can convince you to do something, you can just confess your sin and he's faithful and just to forgive you. But you can tell yourself, well, I just don't do that anymore. I'm not that person anymore. When you get an attitude sort of coming up like I do occasionally, I can tell myself, you know, I don't do that anymore, because that's not who I am. I've been born again of the Spirit of God. And as I'm getting a revelation of this, I'm beginning to realize it's not that, I'm not saying that we don't have to walk in holiness. We be holy as I am holy, God says. But you cannot do that in your own strength. When you get a revelation that you have been given access into the throne room because of the blood that was shed by Jesus, You can come just as you are, and God will hold you and he'll help you and set you free from anything that is burdening you. I can't even confess my sin or repent without his help. Yet a lot of the time we feel like we have to clean ourselves up before we can even come into the presence of God. We feel like, I need to sort things out before I can come and truly, freely worship him. But I can't sort things out without the help of God. I can't even see the truth without his light. But because I've been born again by the Spirit of God and Jesus has shed his blood for me and I've believed on him, I can come in and know that in his light, I'll see light. That as I spend time with him, darkness just can't stay. It has to go. And he becomes my help in everything. The Bible says he's our ever-present help in time of need. Well, you know that. You know that my time of need is all the time. And so when you figure that out too, you know, and you know that when you ask him for help, he'll help you. He'll help you walk in the revelation of the fact that you're a new creation and set free from the burden of sin. So when I go for my walks with God, instead of feeling like, I'm not quite up to it, I know that he looks at me and he adores me. It's like when I came home from America. I wasn't expecting Joseph when I met him to stop and say first before he ran up and instead of running up and giving me a hug, imagine him saying, "Oh, Mummy, I did this, I did that, I did this. I'm so sorry. Would you? I did this at school and I shouldn't have done that." And before he came and hugged me, it's not natural in a mother-son relationship. And you know, in the kingdom of God, it's not natural for us to have to try and, you know, do this and do that before we come in and embrace God. But if we know that when God looks at us, he says, "You're just lovely to me." We can get a revelation that he is the friend of sinners. That he's somebody that has the answer for us and we need to come running and just get it from him. That when we've done something wrong, we can run into his arms and say, "Help, help, help." And he just takes that and gives his mercy. And it's such a simple message, but you know, there's so many Christians that don't understand it. Let's flip back to Song of Solomon, just because it's so lovely. Sheki amonto su. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock. The Bible talks about the clefts of the rock a lot, and Jesus being the rock, and the cleft of his side being pierced. We can hide ourselves in him, but you know, God also loves it when we get alone with him, all alone with God. It's beautiful to worship corporately. There's something just special about what God does. And we're commanded to fellowship together and to worship together because God knows that like little lamps all coming together, we set each other ablaze, spur one another on to love and good deeds. And it's great, it's good, and it's what we need. But we desperately need also time alone in the secret places of the cliff where God just says, "Come, come, come, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice." Because it delights him. It gives him pleasure. It gives him more pleasure. He waits for my walks more than I do. And to me, it's like a drug. It's the thing that sustains me. Because those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up on wings as eagles. I tell you what, it is. You mount up on wings as eagles. I come back from my time with God, and it's like I'm soaring. You mount up on wings as eagles. Run and not get weary. walk and not faint. It's just like, it's fantastic. I want to make you envious of my relationship with God so that you go and press in more. Because he says, I can't remember the scripture. It's the privilege of God to hide a matter and the pleasure of kings to search it out. We've been made kings and priests, and God's just longing for people to come and search him out every day to see more of his glory, because there's more he wants to reveal every day as we go to search him out. He reveals more of his glory, and then more worship comes because we see more of the truth. And the more of the truth we see, the more worship comes. And the more worship comes, the more our faces are lifted and we see him in his glory. And the more we see him in his glory, the more his glory shines on us. The more our hearts get flooded with light, and the more we go and shine the light in the world. And then when someone comes up to you, or you see somebody and the Spirit of God says, go and pray for that person. It's just like, such as I have, give I thee. Because you, I get happy just talking about it. In the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. There's a promise that the blessing that God spoke over the Israelites that I just mentioned earlier about the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So I used to sing it as a lullaby to Joseph and the girls. It's not just a nice blessing, but if you think about it, it says, Lord make his face shine upon you. It's like he looks at you and he loves you and he wants to shine with, he wants you to see his face. Now, the Bible says, no man may see my face and live. Well, that's the whole point. Because when you see his face, you go, oh, take it all, everything. God, I'm crucified with Christ. No longer my own. I'm bought with a price. I die daily. That's interesting. Shabba. Says the Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. When you begin to see his face, you begin to understand that he is gracious to you. And his grace is just so freely extended to you. The blessings of God. It's like my kids, you know. I like buying them things and doing things for them. And it gives me pleasure to bless them because I really like them. And you know, when you begin to see God's face, you understand that of course God wants to help you. Of course God wants to bless you. It's just like, I know that I know that I know that I'm his favorite one. He really loves me. He really does. And when I ask him, he'll give it to me. That's what the Bible says. And it's not because I'm good, but because I'm his. And it's just so lovely because lots of people get healed then because you ask and he does it. And it's good. It's very fun. I'm very drunk. Help me, Jesus. Not as you suppose. Shabari kiata ha ha. Help me, Jesus. I need a stronger pulpit. Help. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. And it's just wonderful. It's just so wonderful. And you know, it's the one thing that the enemy tries the hardest to keep us away from. Our lives get so full and we forget that there's only one reason to be alive. And that is to be in fellowship with him. That's it. Everything else is an overflow. To receive love from him and give it away. That's it. And yet we get it mixed up. We do our stuff, we do our things, we even get into our religious habits, and we forget just to gaze on him. One thing I have desired, David said, this I will ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon his beauty. It's like one thing, just this. You do become an addict, and it's a good thing. And the fruit of that addiction becomes apparent in your life, the more addicted and the deeper you go. When God first started really dealing with me about the truth of who he is instead of who I thought he was, it was the time when God was pouring out his spirit back in 95, and everybody was laughing, and I would go forward at altar calls and all I could do was cry. And it's like, everybody else is laughing? Great, and all I'm doing is crying because I just felt so bad and so guilty and so full of shame. And it's like, and then I'd feel worse because I wasn't getting what everyone else was getting. And then it was like, I must be terrible. And you know, and then I start getting cranky with them because I feel like they're in this little club that I'm not in, and it just amplified the rejection. And oh God. Rejection breeds rejection, and you view everything, everybody's against me. But you know, that's what the enemy works so hard at doing. He tries to make the people of God feel rejected so that they feel like they're enclosed and they've got to protect themselves and somehow. And then instead of being a free-flowing river that just lets the light shine to everybody and let the glory go forth and let the signs and wonders and miracles follow, these signs shall follow. The Holy Spirit's come that he may reveal the truth about who God is. And the revelation of the truth of who God is that he is not somebody that looks at you cranky. And I got that revelation one night as I continued to seek. I kept going to these meetings, these laughing things that I was like, I know there's something here. I just don't get it, but I know there's something here. I kept coming because it was like I had enough of God in me to know that there was something good happening. And then one night God just got me. And I had laryngitis at the time. And I fell on the floor and I was laughing hysterically and nobody could hear me. And I turned my head, and you know what? I saw the face of Jesus. And I saw these eyes that were just like, they were gooey with love for me. I was just, even if I could have talked, I couldn't have. Because it's, and you know, from that day forward, everything was different. Because it's like, you really feel like that about me? I don't get that, but I love it. And I want more. And you know, the more you seek, the more truth will come. The more you'll see that when he looks at you, he goes, you're lovely to me. You're lovely to me. Other versions say your form is lovely. You know, God even likes your personality. He likes the way you're made. He likes everything about you because he made you. You know, that'll set some of you free right now. He likes your personality. He does. He thinks you're lovely. He goes, oh, she's great. You get a revelation of that and you're your whole aspect will change. When people saw me after God did this work in my life, they started saying things to me like, I had one dear gentleman, Chinese brother, came up to me. He hadn't seen me for many years. Came up to me, he says, you look much nicer than you used to look. I was like, thank you, I think. But it was true. You know, when I started to realize how God felt about me, I changed everything. Everything about me changed. My face changed. I know it changed. Instead of being, you hate me, don't you? It began to glow. I began to walk differently, began to dress differently, everything, because it's like, oh, I'm beautiful. God thinks I'm gorgeous. And it's true. It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence. God doesn't like his wife dressed and carrying on as a miserable. He wants you to walk with the knowledge that his arms around you and he likes you. He really enjoys your company. It changed my life. And, you know, when you start to walk around with that knowledge, it's like, instead of, you know, you can tell when people have, and it basically anybody with a prophetic anointing has suffered major rejection. I can tell you that right now, as well as everybody in the world. But, you know, it's like God particularly, the enemy particularly hates that one, because any words that would edify somebody else, like, that's dangerous. They might wake up and realize that they're not who I'm trying to tell them they are. So he tries very hard to shut down the prophetic voice. And if he can deceive them, then he's shut down something. But I tell you what, it's not working. People used to say all the time to me, oh, you're so full of rejection. I'd be like, great, well, that's not helping. They don't like me because I'm rejected. It's like you can't even escape. How do you escape? It's like this perpetual victim of rejection. Downward spiral. Nobody can rescue you except Jesus. And you know what? When it does, when he gives beauty for ashes, everybody notices. It's like, whoa, that is so dramatically different. You're looking and you're walking and your eyes are shining with a difference. They're shining with the, he loves me. And everywhere I go, he's with me. And I have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And I'm crucified with Christ, actually God lives in me. Would you like some? The power of God is surging through my body. I've been clothed with power from on high. Let me lay hands on you. That is not an arrogance. That is what the world is waiting for. Yes. Those who know their God, those who know their God shall do great exploits. You know why? Because when you know him, you know how he feels, you know what he's done, and then it's easy to go and do great exploits, because you don't feel like you're a crippled victim. You don't feel like there's something wrong with you. I mean, the lie that you need so much inner healing that one day maybe you'll be okay enough to be able to give out annoys me. I've been through stuff, and people who know my background used to try and come and say, oh, you need to have this counseling, you need to have that counseling. This is after Jesus completely set me free and delivered me, because they kept wanting to put me back in this little box. You're a victim. You really need this. No, no, no. You think you're well, but no, no, no. You need my special kind of deliverance. It's like, no, I don't. I'm free. I am not that person anymore. I am not a victim anymore. I am a queen. And if you would like some help, I have God inside of me to help you. You see, we've been duped by a false humility. And it's time to wake up and realize living under that just hasn't been successful. What God is getting ready to do and is about to do and has already begun to do is going to be greater than the book of Acts. And it's going to happen in Brisbane. Hallelujah. All right. Shabba. La, cool. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you tonight, Lord. Yes, God, let every heart be enlightened right now, oh God, by your Spirit. They would truly come to know, together with all the saints, Lord, Christ, oh God, Christ in them, the hope of glory, God, that they might come to know the love of God that passes knowledge, Lord, Christ in them, Jesus. I pray, Father, Lord, for the knowledge of the height, the depth, the breadth, the love of God that passes knowledge. I'm just going to read that. Ephesians chapter 3. I prayed this for 3 months solid and then I haven't stopped. And it changed my life, this apostolic prayer. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. You know it because anybody who's come to me for counseling gets told, read Ephesians 3, 14 to 21 and ask God to do what he's saying there. So I don't really do any counseling. people just know, you know, she'll tell you to read Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I belong to him. I'm named by him. I am actually under his name. You know, that's a lovely thing. Christ died for the sins of the world. And anybody who'll come to him can receive forgiveness. Hallelujah. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We need your Spirit, oh God, to give us a revelation of Christ in us, Lord. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints in Brisbane, God, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Then when you get that, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Yeah. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. You are somebody's neck here right now. God is touching your neck. Even right now, God is putting his hand on your neck. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for your healing. Shekia baba, shekia bade. Who's that person? God's touching your neck right now. Shekia, if that's you, come on out. God's touching you. Shekia bosunda. Thank you, Lord, for your healing anointing. Shele abosundo. Ha. someone else's wrist here. God's touching your wrist. He wants to heal your wrist right now. We're just going to agree with heaven. Hallelujah. Thanks, Virginia. Shiki ambo kombo sunde. Somebody else who shiki up. You've been having chest pains. God's going to heal you. Shamba hason kura masele aba shehe. Healed in the name of Jesus. Shaba sandere hese. Shamba healed. Shakamasa. Thank you, Jesus. Shiki abara. Oh, we agree with heaven right now. Thank you, Father, for your... See, it happens before we even get there. Healed. Oh, good God. Wonderful Jesus. Shekiama, somebody else with the wrist. Shakamasa ho. Yeah, there we go. There's a wrist that needs healing. Here's a word of knowledge for you. Shaba shikia.
I've been hit in the head too, so just be careful.
Healed in Jesus' name. Ho sandara po sheke amo sondoraba. Hondele abu kondo sheke. Somebody's ankle and somebody's heel. Shala, God wants to heal you right now. Who's that person? Shala bahasa. Hey, yeah, but it's in your this part of your foot. Shakama, come. Sheki abu sundora baha. Hola basiki ama shikia. Steve, can you come and help me? Shele abu susuba. Hey, hana. Healed in the name of Jesus. Sheki. Thank you for your anointing. Gokopa, Holy Ghost. The flow. There we go. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the lovely thing that started to happen on this trip, I began to feel the power actually go out of me and into the person. And it's like, you know, when the lady touched the hem of his garment and he said he felt power go out. Well, it's really good because apart from being the loveliest feeling in the world to be a holy conduit, like an electrical wire just through which God touches people. You know about that. But apart from that, it's like when I didn't feel a release. You know, sometimes you feel the Holy Ghost, but you don't actually feel it go out into the person and you feel a release. I began to say, Lord, help, what? Why isn't this releasing? And then God would give me a word of knowledge or show me something. That there was one lady, and the first time this happened, the Lord just said that there's somebody she hasn't forgiven. And I spoke it to her, and as she just cried out to God and forgave that person, poof, the release came and the healing came. And we saw miracle after miracle after miracle. I tell you these things because we're just spurring one another on to love and good deeds, because you are all holy conduit here. You're holy electrical wires. We're just God made for God's power to flow through. Yielded vessels. Hallelujah. Sakande. Somebody else, you've been having very bad headaches. Who's that person? Shakama Hasande. Hallelujah. Shere Abosondo. Hey, ya, ya, cool. Kala Hande. Haba, somebody else with deafness and somebody else with a cataract in their eye, healed in the name of Jesus. Shakama, I come against those headaches in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, right now for healing. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Heal. Shaha, yes. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, God. Shaba, reki, hey. Salabashe. Hallelujah. The other thing I found is after the release, you feel the release, you don't keep praying or you get into unbelief. Sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it's quick, but it's all beautiful. Come forward. What are we praying for? Shabbat Hasanda. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak to this cataract in the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus, who loves us, and we say, cataract, go in Jesus' name. Dissolve now and be healed. Oh, there we go. Oh, it feels good. It's a good feeling. Yay, God. Long cover. Cataracts, Father, in the name of Jesus, you're so lovely, Father. Thank you, Lord. Shut up. Cataracts dissolved in Jesus' name. Crystal clear sight, oh God. Shamba, hey. Healing. I thank you too for the hearing, God, in Jesus' name, for the release of the ears now in Jesus' name. Shamba, healing.
down here going, wow, wow, yay. Oh, mama, sala con de rebe. Oh, chiki. Somebody's knee, your kneecap. God wants to touch your kneecap right now. He's touching it even now. Shalabahasa. Thank you, Lord. Oh, healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to his kneecap. Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, God, you are doing it. God, you're good. You're so good, God. Healed in the name of Jesus. Whole, totally restored. Thank you, Father. Oh, completely made whole. Holy Asamasha. Healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the life of Jesus flowing. Yes, total restoration, total healing in the name of Jesus. Sheki Abasa. Healed in Jesus' name. Busandar. Sheki Amasandalaba Shekia. Quickened and given life to every cell of a body, oh God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It really is an addictive thing, you know, his presence. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and then he was not. I'm fully expecting to see people disappear in days to come. Just as they get so caught up to heaven, they just get, they're gone. There we go. Well, if you walked with God, in communion with God for 900 years, it'd be like, you'd be so filled up. It happened with Philip, didn't it? Just disappear, show up in another place. Happens with Shampa. More, Lord. What God can do with somebody who makes themselves available. He's just looking for anybody who'll give up and let him be God. And say, God, take me, pick me up, use me, God. Hallelujah. Is anybody here that says, I don't know Jesus and I want to know him. I really want to give my life to Christ. I need to be born again. I want this new life. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you right now. Is anybody here? God bless you. Anybody else says, I want to know Jesus. I want to give my life to Christ. Hallelujah. Hey, bless you. Come on out. Shekia
Say this after me. Dear Lord, I give you my life. I believe you died on the cross for me. I thank you for your forgiveness. Take all of my sin. Take my life. And I receive yours now. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Let me walk with you all the days of my life. And take me to be in heaven with you when I die. Lord, I desire to walk with you. Give me a new revelation by your Holy Spirit of how good you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, I thank you for our sister, Shekia. Lord, I pray that you would fill her with your Holy Ghost right now in Jesus' name. Baptize her with the Holy Ghost and fire, clothed with power from on high. Speaking with new tongues in the name of Jesus. You are her God. You are her God, Lord. And you have found her. Father, you put your hand on her and picked her up, Lord, in Jesus' name. Breathe your life into her even now. Shanka Masa, thank you for your anointing, God. Yandalabasi kia sabada. To God be the glory. Is anybody here that says, I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost in fire? I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to speak with new tongues. You know, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit fills you. You receive the Spirit of God. But Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. There's a baptism for service, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. And you know, when he gives you the gift of new tongues, and you pray in an unknown tongue, the Bible says he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself and builds himself up in his most holy faith. He utters mysteries to God, and God reveals mysteries to our spirit. Anybody here says, I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire? Come on, shake here. Anybody else says, I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire right now? Shakamasa, lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Shakamasandara, speaking with new tongues. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Shabondunkomasa, Shamba asandara bashikiyaba. Filled with the Spirit, clothed with power from on high. For Shakaba, Shembe Hesenkia, Shandaraba Sandarabe Shiki, Asandaraba Shekiaba, Horama Sandarabe She, Handaba Sakandarabe Shiki, Amasondoroboso, Shamba Baba Aho Sandele, Shebebe Shiki, Amasandoraba Hankyo Kobo Sondo, Lada Bondo Soraba Shebebe Asandere Otoba. Oh, Baba, say hallelujah. Jesus is lovely. Oh, God, you are so beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful.